Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus. It is a joy to be here with you today. I would have to say I feel like we kind of dropped in on a family meeting. And that is a blessing. That is a wonderful blessing to see you. How God has been gracing your hearts and lives with His presence, with His encouragement, with His power as you have spent a day going out in the highways and byways and compelling them to come in. What a blessing. What a rich blessing. And amen. May God bless you for that. And I trust that as you were sharing, just like you all shared, that God will use that and touch many hearts, and who knows, you know, the far-reaching effects that will have. Well, this morning, I'd like to share a message. The message is going to be directed a bit to the fathers. But I do want to encourage you, if you're here as a sister, don't despair. I think you will find something in it for you. At least that was a testimony that a sister shared with me from our congregation last Sunday when I shared this message. When I said that I'm sharing a message with the fathers, she said, oh, her first thoughts were, oh, no, you know, probably nothing for her today. However, after the message was finished, her testimony was that she received many a challenge. So I want to encourage you with that. Do not despair. I think you'll find some encouragement. Should have used all capitals, but I guess I'll let it go. I've done, and I did this last Sunday for our home congregation, what is called an acrostic. Took each letter of fathers and shared a point, a truth from the scriptures to encourage fathers. And that is my goal today. My goal is to give a message that is encouraging. I trust it can be stretching and challenging at the same time. But yes, my heart and my goal would be to be able to encourage our hearts, to press on, to reach for the things that God has for us. You know, my testimony personally is that I have not attained to all that I believe God would have for me as a father, as a husband, as a brother in the congregation, in my walk with the Lord. I believe that God wants to take me on. God wants to continue to teach me and to stretch me and to grow me up in His grace. And so that's a bit my heart this morning as we discuss and encourage us as fathers in our calling. The first word that I have here for the first point for fathers is simply focus. It's important as a father that we have a proper focus. You know, we live in a real world, and there are dozens of responsibilities that we have in life. There are dozens of voices that call us every day. There are, and some of those things are good things. Some of those things are, you know, responsibilities that are God-given responsibilities, such as, you know, being the breadwinner and providing for our families And, you know, some of us run small businesses and hold jobs, and these things are very, very necessary. However, in the midst of all of those voices and all of those opportunities, we live in a land of opportunity, it seems, many times. We can get an idea to start some kind of a business, and the opportunity's there, many opportunities. In the midst of all of those opportunities and voices, it is so important that as fathers, we keep our focus correct. You know, if I have a binocular up here, and if it's out of focus, all I'm going to see is a very blurry picture. If you bring your camera and you take a snapshot and it didn't focus properly, all you see, the picture is blurry. It's not clear. And you know, it's so easy. I find it in my own life, and I'm sure you can testify the same thing. It's so easy as we go through life, and the many things that come our way, the many opportunities, like I said, the voices that call to us, if we're not careful, we lose the focus. The picture becomes unclear in our minds. The picture of what we're really here for. The picture of what God's real purpose is for us. The picture of what is really important in life and what really matters for the kingdom of God. If we're not careful, that picture gets cloudy. And it happens so subtly that sometimes we won't even notice it right away. And we can go through life and we can be making decisions and doing things, and all of a sudden we find ourselves in a spot where we realize, you know what? How did I get here? Why? You know, what happened that I'm in this place and things don't seem clear? How did I arrive at this spot? Well, maybe somewhere along the way, the focus became blurred. The focus wasn't clear anymore. The focus of the kingdom and of God's purpose and of God's plan for our lives. You know, it's important. And I don't always get it done. But I try to set my heart to each morning, as I get up in the morning, to spend a little time before God to set my focus, to clear the picture, to ponder what my day holds, and to ponder it in light of eternity, to ponder it in light of God's call in my life, to ponder it in light of what really matters, what really does matter. You know, we operate a little greenhouse business, and we only operate it as a seasonal business in the spring. There's a lot of customers who keep bugging us and saying, you know, you need to offer the fall items too. You need to open up in the fall. But you know, as I ponder, and as I ponder my heart before God, and I ponder our family, and I ponder why we have that business, and I ponder our goals for that business, and I say, no, we're not going to open up in the fall. Because it fits our schedule so well as a homeschooling family to operate the way we operated. And you know, I don't want to move away from that. I don't want to let those voices change my course. Because this, you know, this business puts bread and butter on our table, but this business is also raising our children. It's not just to, you know, it's not just to put flowers in people's gardens. It's bringing up my children. It's working together as a family. And so I want to keep that focus clear. You know, the tangible things of this world, while they have such a... it's so easy. It's so easy to begin to get a focus on them, the tangible things. But you know, flowers all die sooner or later. Cars all rust away sooner or later. Houses get old sooner or later. And the Bible tells us someday they're even going to burn. It's going to pass away. But the souls of my children, they're not going to pass away. The souls of your children, fathers, they're not going to pass away. They're going to live for eternity somewhere. The soul of your wife, the soul of your neighbor, the soul of your friends, the soul of your brother, it will live for eternity. But these other things, they will pass away. They will pass away. So what if I earn enough of money to buy a new vehicle? That vehicle's going to get old too. That vehicle's going to rust too. That vehicle's going to break down too, sooner or later. But the souls of my children will spend eternity somewhere. We must keep that in focus. I encourage us, and I know you do it. I have that confidence that you strive to focus. You know, to clear that picture again in your mind. In the days and the weeks as life unfolds, come back to God again and again and focus. Clear the picture. What's God's purpose? Why am I here? Why am I doing what I'm doing? What's God's plan in this area of our lives? What's God's design for this area of our lives? And just focus and have eternity in perspective. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, another thought. You can, if you want, you can write Colossians 3, verses 1 to 5. I actually forgot to read that as a basis for what we shared already. But we'll go on to Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, verse 4 says this, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." You know, it's a calling that God has put upon us as fathers to bring up our children, to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And it's a calling that we need to keep clear, as I already hinted at and alluded to bring up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You know, it's not just another day to go to work. It's not just another day to paint the fence or mow the yard. It's another day to influence my children for the Lord Jesus. It's another day to bring the kingdom of God to bear upon the hearts of my children. It's not just another day. It's not just another work week. It's another opportunity. Bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Bring God into the normal happenings of your life. When you're facing difficulties in life, pray together and seek God for answers. When needs arise in your life, pray together and seek God for answers. Even just common things in life, like needing a vehicle, for example. We can pray together and say, "God, we need a vehicle. You know, where is one that would fit our needs?" And watch how God answers. It's an opportunity to bring God into everyday living, to nurture our children in the kingdom of God. You know, it's so easy to be, when we're talking about focus, it's so easy to, you know, in our opportunities of business and farming and whatever else we all do, it's so easy to begin to see our children as a tool to help us build that business. But you know, if that is our focus, I suggest we refocus. It won't come out right. Rather, we should be seeing our business as an opportunity to raise our children, to bring up our children. Now, the side benefit may be that they'll then help build the business. But if the focus is to build the business, it won't come out right. It won't come out right. The focus must be, adjust that focus. You know, the camera, you can adjust it, the binoculars, you turn that thing. Adjust the focus. The focus is to use that business, that whatever you have, as a tool to bring up those children for God. Not to build the business with the children. Keep the focus. A father needs to be focused. A father needs to be an athletic. Second one. Athletic. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verses 24 to 27. Scripture reads as follows, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Keep your finger there, and I'll just turn over to Hebrews 12, verse 1. We'll come back to that scripture there again in Corinthians. Hebrews 12, verse 1 reads as follows. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. A father is an athletic. And this morning, you know, as I give these various points, I'm giving them in the context of a Christian father. You know, obviously any father will benefit from considering these things, but I'm just going to give it in the context of a Christian father. I'm not always going to interject that word Christian, but you keep that in mind as we talk about a Christian, a father who wants to bring up his children in the fear of the Lord. He needs to be an athletic. In this scripture that we've read in Hebrews, talks about running the race with patience. In 1 Corinthians, we have the example given of those in this world who are athletes, who are, you know, trying to win the crown, trying to win the race, trying to be the best. And we have the comparison made a bit of what an individual will do who is running a race or who is planning to run a race, and what he will do in preparation to win that race, and the discipline and the rigor that he will put himself through with one goal in mind, and that is that he may win that race. And we have that comparison given in the sense of being a Christian. And running with purpose, and running with vision, and running with zeal and determination. We'd like to note several things about an athlete, just a common everyday athlete. You know, an athlete sacrifices today for tomorrow's victory. He does. He sacrifices today for tomorrow's victory. If he's running a race tomorrow, you can be sure that he's going to watch what he's eating today. You can be sure he's not going to fill himself up with a whole bunch of sweet puddings and all that kind of stuff, because he knows that that will never give him the fullest potential to run that race. He knows that. And so he sacrifices today for tomorrow's victory. He disciplines himself today. He puts himself through rigorous training, exerts himself today for tomorrow's victory. The athlete will do it. I'd like to challenge us as fathers the same way. As a father, we need to be an athlete. We need to be an athlete. We need to take some of those principles into our own hearts. You know, a father is not intent on crossing the finish line first. He is rather intent on crossing the finish line with his family close behind him, coming right after him. He's intent on bringing as many people across that finish line as he possibly can. That's his intent. And that's the father, he will also sacrifice today for tomorrow's victory. He will also discipline himself today for tomorrow's victory. He will. Think about it. You know, he, the father, will see obstacles in the path that may cause his child to stumble. And he'll do something about it. As he's running the race and his children are coming behind him, he may see an obstacle in the path and he may look at it and he may say, my child comes to that thing, he may stumble, I'm getting it out of the way. What are we willing to sacrifice today for tomorrow's victory? What are we willing to sacrifice today so that our children can run? And run efficiently, and run effectively. What is it in our homes, in our lives, that is going to cause our children to stumble? and possibly even fall and lose their way. There's so many things we could list today. It could be just, you know, some besetting sin in our own lives. For me, there was a stumbling block that was in the home I grew up in, and I appreciate my parents. I love my parents. I don't believe they ever realized the depth of that stumbling block, and it was the simple thing of a daily newspaper. Every day in the mailbox, 10:30 in the morning. Every day, I grew up on a farm, was always at home. Every day, I'd comb the newspaper, reading all sorts of things. A little boy growing up, imagine having your mind shaped by the things that are printed in the daily newspaper and the outcome of that. I thank God for the grace of God that has enabled me to overcome some of those things, but there's still struggles I face today because of some of that. It caused me to stumble many a time. But think about it. As a father, as an athlete, you're running. And you know in the natural race, if there's a brick in the path, if there's a root sticking up out of the ground, it's going to stumble someone. Someone's going to trip over it. What will cause our children to stumble? And what are we willing to sacrifice today that they may win, that they may run effectively and efficiently? Are we willing to sacrifice? You know, I've said this. I've said it to our congregation. And I'm going to say it here. Television, or even maybe the newspaper, has slain its hundreds. But I fear the internet is slaying its thousands. It is. I'm not one that just says, you know, you just no, we ain't gonna have it, ain't gonna, you know, it's not gonna be around here. I'm not one of that kind. However, I think as fathers in running this race, I think we need to realize that that thing can be a tremendous stumbling block. It can slay many. And it does. And, you know, which one of your children, which one are you willing to sacrifice at the altar of the internet? Which one will it be? Look at them when you're sitting around your family room. Which one can you spare? Is it any of them? Your brothers, as you sit around in a brothers' meeting, which one can you spare to that altar of the internet? There's many that have fallen. As you look across Christendom in general, the reports are astounding. And I believe it, because that thing is tremendously ensnaring. And men sit in private offices and private studies, and pastors sit in private studies and have the thing right in there. No accountability. And many have fallen. It has slain its thousands. And, yeah, you know, think about it. It could just be a book on the bookshelf. You know, it could just be some magazines that just the content is not wholesome, not good. And our children pick it up and devour it. A stumbling block. An athlete. Let's be athletes. Let's run. Let's remove the obstacles. Let's smooth the way for those who are running after us. Amen. Father is a troubleshooter. A father is a troubleshooter. Praise the Lord. We need some of those in life, don't we? Father is a troubleshooter. Let's turn to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, verse 9 to 13. This is a scripture where the disciples asked the Lord, teach him how to pray, and then the Lord gave him a little lesson on prayer. And he finishes that little exhortation with some very strong encouragements on prayer. Beginning verse 19, and he says, "And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? Or if he ask a scorpion, an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him?" In this scripture, our Lord uses the example a bit of us as natural fathers and makes a parallel with our heavenly Father, encouraging us that even if we as natural fathers, you know, out of our hearts would do good to our own children, how much more will God do the same? In this particular scripture, Jesus is saying to us, "Ask and it shall be given you; seek and you shall find; knock and it shall be opened unto you." You know, just before that, we have the fellow coming at midnight and asking for bread. You know, that's a father is the kind of person you go to when you're in trouble. Is that right? You know, the account there was a man needed bread and he didn't have enough, so he had a problem. He didn't have what he needed, so he went to his father. You know, and you know, as fathers, you know, we need to be troubleshooters. You know, a troubleshooter is one of those that can somehow solve problems. You know, wouldn't it be a blessing? Wouldn't it be a blessing if our children would, have such confidence in us as fathers that when they find themselves in a spot in life when things haven't gone right and maybe they've lost their way in an area of life, maybe they've even sinned, maybe they've missed the market, something happened and they're in trouble and they know they're in trouble, things aren't right. Wouldn't it be a blessing if they could just in their hearts realize, you know what, I can go to Dad. I can go to my father. He's a troubleshooter. He knows how. He'll help me. He'll help me figure this thing out. He'll help me straighten this problem out. He'll find the solution to the problem. Wouldn't that be a blessing if our children have that kind of confidence in us? That they can come to us and they can open their hearts when things didn't go well. And they can find a compassionate heart that will help them see the problem. Will help them see where they went wrong. We'll help them straighten it out. We'll help them get right back on track again. We'll help them clear their conscience. A troubleshooter. Fathers need to be troubleshooters. But not only that. Not only when they come, but also being on the lookout. You know, a troubleshooter can usually spot a problem a whole lot sooner than others. One of our cars was making some noise in the front, in the steering, and I said to my wife, "This car is making some noise. I need to take it to the shop and get it examined." And she said, "What noise?" Well, if you're a troubleshooter, you'll hear those kind of things. And so so everybody, now be quiet, everyone. Next time I steer, we make a turn at an intersection, you listen. And we made the turn and, okay, yeah, I think I heard it now, yeah. You know, a troubleshooter hears things, you know, he spots them, he knows when they're there, he knows something isn't right, he can tell it in the attitudes, he can tell it in the countenance, he can tell it in the disposition of his child, a troubleshooter. To be able to find his way in there and figure out what's wrong. Be able to find his way alongside of that child and say, "You know, son, I've noticed that your countenance seems a bit dark. Something troubling you. Would you like to talk about it? Can I help you?" Troubleshooter. Fathers need to be troubleshooters. Looking for the problems. And it's not a good thing to have this posture of just looking for trouble all the time. That's not a good thing. Not what we're talking about. Right. But that kind, considerate disposition of heart that just has an eye and just notices when, you know, something not quite right over there. That, you know, son or daughter, something's bothering her. Watch my chance. I'll talk to her. You know, I'll talk to him. Be there for him. Troubleshooter. Okay. Next point. A father, obviously, if he's a father for the most part, there's exceptions, I guess, but a father is probably going to be a husband also. A husband. You know, if you have children, you probably have a wife. So if you're a father, you're probably a husband. Like I said, I realize that sometimes the Lord does bring different experiences into our lives, and I do not desire to share any point in any way that would cause anyone, you know, deep in a pain of any kind, but just want to encourage us. When I think of this thought, I think of that verse in the Old Testament. I can't give the reference, but so much that the Lord says He'll have the barren will have children. And, you know, the Lord is the Lord, and He has His way in bringing water out of dry ground. And so, but for the most part, if you're a father, you're a husband. What's a husband? What's a husband? Well, a husband is a man who has taken to himself a wife. And according to the proverb writer, in Proverbs 18, verse 22, that man that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. So, it's a good thing, the Bible tells us, that to be a husband. It's not a bad thing at all. Good thing, in fact. I'm glad I'm one. 1 Peter 3, verse 7 says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. You know, as we think, I believe I missed this verse, 1 Corinthians 7:33, but he that is married careth for the things of this world, how he may please his wife. You know, that's just a little taking a verse out of 1 Corinthians 7. And what we see in that verse is this. It's not necessarily discouraging the verse or discouraging marriage necessarily, or saying that you're less spiritual when you're married. It's simply facing the facts and saying, if you're married, you have a responsibility that an unmarried man doesn't have. That's what it's saying. And so if you are a husband, you have a responsibility. You've got something to juggle that a single man doesn't have to juggle. You've got the responsibility of a wife. You've taken unto yourself a wife. You've taken unto yourself a responsibility to, Peter says, to dwell with her according to knowledge, to live with her in peace, and to, and it will take, you know, if you have that responsibility, it's going to take some of your time, some of your energy, some of your thoughts, some of your prayer are going to need to be devoted to your wife. If you're a husband, it's a piece of the pie. It's part of what you need to carry in life. And it takes, I think you know, and I know, it takes effort to maintain that relationship between a husband and a wife. It doesn't just happen. It doesn't just come on its own. It takes effort. Just like our relationship with God. It doesn't just happen either, does it? It doesn't just, you know, that closeness with God and that we at times experience as we go through life, it doesn't just automatically flow, does it? It takes effort on our part. It takes discipline. It takes taking time. It takes time in prayer. It takes time in reading. It's the same with our wife, isn't it? You know, it takes time together. It takes time to nurture that relationship. It takes words of encouragement. It takes words of blessing. It takes many things to keep that relationship fervent and sweet. You know, as I pondered this, you know, the relationship between a husband and his wife, it's an interesting relationship because in some way, I pictured it a little this way. It's almost, that relationship is almost like a somewhat invisible tree between the two of you. You know, something growing between the two of you. Somewhat invisible and yet visible, right? Somewhat invisible but yet visible. You know, your children, while they can't necessarily reach out and grab it, yet they know it's there. They can feel it. They can sense it. That relationship between the two of you. They can tell when all is well. They can tell when love is flowing. They can tell when the relationship is clear and free. They can tell when it's clouded. They can tell when there's something between the two of you and it's just not flowing smoothly. They can tell it. They can feel it. Visible, but invisible. It's there. And they know it. There's a saying, and I think it's a fairly accurate saying. It's probably not altogether accurate, but it's this saying that the best thing you can do for your children is to love their mother. I would say that's second to loving the Lord. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength is first of all the best thing you can do for your children. And secondly, love their mother. Love their mother. Colossian writer exhorts us as husbands to love your wives and be not bitter against them. I suppose he says that because he realizes there's a potential for that. There's a potential to become, you know, a bitter heart is a hard heart. It's a heart that has been hardened. And we know, you and I, if you're a married man, you probably know that your wife isn't perfect. She doesn't always do everything exactly the way you wanted it done. She doesn't always meet your expectations the way you would have liked. And the potential for a man to become bitter in his heart is very real. But the writer exhorts us to not become bitter, but rather to love, to cherish, to love and to cherish, and to maintain a tender heart toward your wife, to maintain a tender relationship. And if you're like me, you find that there are times as you go through life that you, back to the focus, you realize that the relationship between my wife and I, the focus seems off a little. I'm going to put forth some special effort here to get that focus back. It happens. It happens. Life, as we said, has many things going. And there's times when we need to just realize the focus is off, go to work, and gently bring that focus back on to where the relationship is free and flowing and sweet again. Okay, so much for a husband. A father is a husband. Father is an encourager. Might not be able to see that back there, but a father is an encourager. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 11. Here Paul's writing, he says, and he's giving his testimony. He says, as ye know how we were exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. He's reflecting back on how he had ministered to them when he was there in their presence in Thessalonica. And he says, and he calls them to remembrance. He calls them to remember how when he was with them, he exhorted them, he comforted them, and he charged every one of you as a father doth his children. Now, Paul is simply taking for granted the fact that a father will encourage his children, that a father will exhort and encourage and come alongside and bless and minister to his children. You know, there's a proverb that says this in Proverbs 15, verse 23, a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. You know, what is that due season? A word spoken in due season. You know, I believe probably in all of our lives, there's times when we find ourselves in perhaps a bit of a difficult spot in life. Something difficult took place. And I'd like you to think about this example even in the life of Jesus. Remember when Jesus gave some of His hard messages, and the Scripture tells us that many for... trying to recall the exact words, but something to the effect that many of the disciples went no more with Him. They turned back. They turned away. He had given them a message they couldn't swallow. They had enough. And they turned away. And Jesus turned to His disciples and said, "Will you also go away?" Think about the words of Peter at that moment. "Whither shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." Do you think that was a due season in the life of our Lord Jesus? At a moment when it seemed everyone was turning away and no one was going to follow Him anymore, and He turns over to His disciples, "Will you also go away? Whither shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." You know, all of us in life, probably at some point or another, and our children do face those things. Something comes up in life. Some difficulty. Someone with, says something to them very maybe intentionally or not intentionally, very hurtful. You know, I remember
some years ago, one of my daughters jumped in the vehicle, hit the garage door button, put it in reverse and started backing up. Garage door wasn't up yet. Smashed the garage door in the back window in my van. In due season. Do you think that was a due season for me to minister into her heart? Do you think that was a due opportunity where the right words to come right in there and just encourage her that this is okay? It's just a van. It's just a garage door. An opportunity to connect my heart with hers. Imagine what would have happened if I had lashed her out and said, "Why do you ever do it?" I would have missed a due season, a word spoken in due season. You know, there's due seasons in the lives of our children. There are. They face things in life. Some things that are disappointing, some things that are hurtful, some things that, they make mistakes. And it's a due season, an opportunity for us to just connect with their hearts, to say something that will just minister to their heart and encourage them. There are opportunities, a word spoken in due season, the right word at the right time. Like the other proverb in Proverbs 25, verse 11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. An encourager. You know, many times when a person makes a mistake, they're already feeling bad. They're already feeling bad. And they need encouragement. They need to be encouraged that, don't give up. Don't give up. Maybe you didn't succeed this time, but try again. An encourager. "You can do it. I know you can. You've done it before." An encourager. A father is an encourager. Maybe it's just a smile. Maybe it's an encouraging word. It can be many things that can encourage their hearts. Okay, moving ahead. A father must be rational. What's rational? You know, we carry a bit of responsibilities in life, as we said, and it sure helps if we're rational. I should have got the definition of irrational. Maybe that would have, sometimes it helps to contrast. But someone who is rational is sensible and reasonable and able to think and reason clearly. A father is rational. Proverbs 24, verse 10 tells us this: "If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small." And as we've already alluded to, adversities come. Difficulties come. Sooner or later, we all find ourselves in them. And it's unreasonable to think we won't. It's not reasonable to think that we can go through life and not find ourselves from time to time in situations, circumstances, experiences. You know, whether it's in the workplace, whether it's even in our homes, whether it's in the church. You know, it's unreasonable to think that we'll be able to go through life on a flowery bed of ease and never face challenging, trying, stretching situations. But the challenge to us is, when we face them, to be rational. As a father, we must be rational. You know, as those adversities come, and we find ourselves in a place where the pressure is on, to be able to reason and think through things, even when the pressure is on. And one of the things about that is a real benefit if we're in being rational is to be able to consider another's opinion and perspective without feeling my own position is being threatened. And that's a challenge for me at times. You know, somebody wants to give me their perspective, and I'm tempted to feel like they're trying to unhook me on mine. You know, they're trying to crush me on mine. But to be able to hear them out and not feel threatened by that, it's a challenge. I confess that is a need in my own heart, to be able to hear someone else's thought, someone else's perspective, and not feel threatened, and be able to think, you know, ponder what they've had to share, what their thought was, what their input was. You know, as fathers, we need that kind of, gift, grace, if we want to call it that, if we want to help our children to learn to work through those kind of things, learn to work through the adversities of life that come our way, and to be able to work their way through in a reasonable state of mind and think clearly and ponder and not become all deranged in the middle of challenging situations. Okay, we have one more left here. S. Fathers. Oh, what would we put here for S? Fathers need to be shock absorbers. Now, if we have the same thing take place here that we had in our congregation, the men all knew what a shock absorber was and the women didn't. But anyhow, I'll explain a little bit. Your vehicle that you came into church in this morning most likely has some shock absorbers. At each wheel, there's a thing that connects the wheel and the wheel mechanism to your vehicle, and it functions in there, and it stabilizes your vehicle. It keeps it from, you know, you hit a pothole on one side of the road and your vehicle lurches a bit. And if you wouldn't have that shock absorber in there, that lurch would be a whole lot greater. And, it would bounce, and it would, you know, you hit a pothole on this side and it would go down, and then it would bounce back up, and you'd be, you know, going this way and that way, and maybe all need a chiropractor till you got to church. Well, you know, life is a bit that way, isn't it? You know, life, it's got some potholes. It's got some rough spots in the road. And, you know, fathers really do need to be shock absorbers for their families, in their homes and with their children, with their wife. The Psalm 103 verse 13 says, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. To pity is to have compassion upon. You know, one who shows pity, shows compassion when another is going through a hard time. You know, who do you go to when life has dealt you a hard blow? You know, I wish and would wish that everyone would have a father they could go to. You know, we could have that kind of a relationship, and if it's not a blood father, that you could have a father, you know, some father figure in your life that when life has, you know, meted out a hard blow and you're reeling under it, that you'd have a father to go to. A shock absorber. Someone you can talk to. Someone you can share with what happened.
and someone who can help you keep from bouncing up and down and all around because of it. Can just bring stability and stabilize your heart and stabilize your thoughts that are wanting to race in every direction and stabilize your mind and your soul. A shock absorber. You know, isn't it that way often when we're facing something and, you know, it might be a child talking to their father, and after you talked it over a bit, all of a sudden the mountain doesn't look near as big as it did. That's the way it ought to be. That's the way it ought to be. You don't talk to Dad. You know, it's that way with us as brothers sometimes. We're facing something and it looks like a monster, and we talk to another brother, and he's a shock absorber. He takes up some of that brunt of the thing and helps us work through it, and, oh, it don't look so big anymore. A shock absorber. So, amen. You be a shock absorber in your home for your children. Now, life is real, and we know that, and we can't take all the cutoff of things, and we don't want to. We don't want to. Our children, you know, they also need to learn to become shock absorbers, and we don't want to take all the punch away and all the cut, but absorb some of the bruntness of it and help them work through it. Well, I've spoken to the fathers primarily in a sense. But I thought about you in conclusion, yet I thought about you young men as you sit here. You know, maybe you feel like this message wasn't for you. You're not a father. Well, Lord willing, you're standing next in line to join the ranks. You'll be the next generation of fathers. You're sitting here as a young man. It may be sooner than you think, but maybe longer than you wish. But now is the time. Now is the time to lay the foundation that will prepare you to be that father. That father who is focused. That father who is athletic. That father who is a troubleshooter. Yeah, that father who is a husband. Yeah, it's okay to think about that as young men, to realize that if I'm going to be an effective husband someday, I must be effective in my walk with God now. It's okay to think about that way. An encourager, to be rational, to be a shock absorber. We can learn those things now as we face the responsibilities and challenges of life as young men. I want to leave that with you as an encouragement. May God bless you here today, and just encourage your hearts as fathers to run, to be that athlete and to run. Could we just kneel together for a moment and pray? Yes, Father, our Father, which art in heaven, we do humble ourselves before you again here today, and we bless you for your word, Father. Thank you for how the Scripture is ever speaking into our lives in many different aspects, in many different ways. And today again, as we have endeavored, Father, to open up the Word of God, I pray that it could be an encouragement and a blessing and be profitable to all that have heard. Father, bless the congregation here and continue to build them up in your grace. Bless the fathers that are here. Continue to work in their hearts a renewed and a continuing vision of your call in their lives and your purpose and your design for their families. Be with each one of them. I pray that none would go away from here discouraged and feeling like they can't attain. I pray rather, Father, that their hearts would rise in faith. And that I pray that you would rebuke any spirit of discouragement. And Father, just grant our hearts grace to reach forth in faith and to press forward, knowing that You are the Lord, and it is through your grace and strength that we are able to climb to new heights in our Christian walk. So, Father, again, we just commit these few things to you and pray, may your kingdom come, may your will be done in earth, even as it is in heaven, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah, well, I can say I'm very thankful for that, Brother John. Thank you for summarizing our lives in that way and challenging us again to our what we should be, the kind of men we should be. Maybe I'll just take a moment here. Is there anyone that would like to share something the Lord has really spoken to you this morning? Maybe you feel like you need to just stand to your feet in the congregation and make a confession. There's a lot of things that I'm sure could be said in addition to the message, but I think for the sake of time, let's waive those things. But if someone's here and they just feel like they need to clear their heart before the Lord and before the congregation, why don't you raise your hand and we'll get you a mic.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Effort of Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Effort of Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.